everybody. Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 242. It's a palindrome episode.
It is. It comes around once in a while.
Once every...
Don't ask me the math equation because I don't know what that was. They pushed me through math in high school.
That reminds me of, you know what Sean Connery's favorite sport is?
No.
Tennis. So, 242, last week we had Seth on. Because you were off on your adventure.
I successfully found the fluff and made myself a fluffernutter.
Which you were explaining to me I haven't had.
So a fluffernutter is fluff with Nutella, peanut butter, and sliced banana inside toasted white bread.
Sounds pretty good. I am not a peanut butter person. This is something that people are often shocked about.
Mm-hmm.
It is like...
Because you're obviously nutty.
Peanuts aren't even a nut. They're a legume.
Yeah, it's true.
But... Let's move on to what you guys had to say. If you could create a Tinkerplay action figure, what would you create? And I don't think anyone ever actually answered, but... Develop KC did say, in 100 years, people will be like, I remember when I had to 3D print all my own stuff, and then some genius person will come up with the idea of a store where you can actually go and buy them pre-built.
Nice.
It's funny because... Someone was talking about, I was talking to someone recently about Amazon drone delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And how someone was like, do you even need that? Have you ever had a time where you needed something like right now and you couldn't wait for Prime? And the rebuttal to that was, so you mean you've never been to a store?
Yeah.
And bought something right now?
Are they actually doing the testing for that in the US yet?
They just got approved.
Because they were doing it in Canada.
To
get around the FAA.
Yeah. So they took them a long time for the approval for the original ones. By the time the first approvals came by, those original drones were like outdated and stuff. So the new rules are fairly restrictive. I believe they need to stay within sight of the operator and within a certain ceiling. But enough to try the.
Have you seen the beautiful 4K video drone footage?
No.
So a 4K camera weighs something like 80 pounds or 90 pounds. And trying to get that camera onto a drone that can support that kind of a platform and make it usable has been a challenge with this one company.
But that's the whole point. Like, drones can only fly because they're so light. Right. Once you have to carry them and carry a payload,
I'm hoping the editor can find this video link to show you a little bit of this video, but it's absolutely
before
gorgeous.
We even get into our actual
before we get in the show.
We have talked about Amazon, we've talked about printing.
But it's absolutely wickedly gorgeous, this one particular one. Mm. And the guy basically said, this is either going to be really cool or it's going to be well over $250,000 wreck.
Those are really expensive things.
You got it.
National Association of Broadcasters have their annual conference down in Vegas, and that just happened this past week. One of my coworkers went down and apparently said 4K everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
4K everything.
Yeah. Have you upgraded to a 4K monitor yet?
No. I've read about it. There's this sweet spot where you've got I want to say 29 or 39 inch. 39 inch probably makes sense for 4K.
Yep.
And you get a ton of real estate. You need to fix your DPI settings so you actually get text you can read and stuff. It'd be beautiful for programming.
I want dual or maybe even triple 4Ks, slightly curved, just to be able to have that. Imagine that, man.
Psyche?
S-E-I-K-I?
They have one of the ones a bunch of people I know have bought that is a... 30 hertz at 4K, so perfect for using desktop stuff, and then goes 120 hertz at 1080. I was going to say 2K or whatever that is.
We can dream.
Anyway,
nothing like seeing PowerShell at 4K.
I need to learn more PowerShell, too. You don't use it enough. Fabulous Fad says, Seth actually looked cool with the lightsaber up until it went off before. Listen, we're editing here.
Hey.
Get him one of the newer ones from episode 7. Those are the ones that have four...
Yeah, they've got things that stick out the bottom, and there's big argument about whether or not he'd be cutting off different pieces of his hand or his arm as he's using it, whatever it was.
That's kind of the Star Wars lore, though. Everyone cuts off their hand, right?
Yeah, it's true.
That's the thing.
Very true.
I did claim the panda first, so Fabulous Faz is going to go with something from Finding Nemo. Jellyman. Modeled against jellyfish. Is it going to be transparent?
I don't know, man.
Can you 3D print transparent stuff? I'm assuming you can.
It's all a matter of what kind of resin you put inside of it to make it work. Do you have any 3D printed things of yourself yet?
I do. I have not 3D printed anything.
I have been 3D printed.
Really?
Yeah.
You have?
With the hat.
Is it a bobblehead?
No.
Can you 3D print bobbleheads?
No, it's just a little figurine that sits on my desk.
I want a bobblehead.
Nice. So whoever has a 3D printer out there and modeling skills, because that's two things that I lack. I have access to a 3D printer. Just one at the garage I'm sure I could use.
Yeah, probably.
If I could 3D model. So that's all we've got from last week.
We did receive a tweet through the hashtag PingShow, basically saying, thank you very much for shipping out
Nine Guys.
The Nine Guys.
Sweet.
So yes, there is a backlog of a bunch,
yes,
and a delay in return mail and lost routing and all that sort of stuff. But some of them have gone out, so don't forget to end the show. You'll get the address.
You will. We
had some notable mentions from a tire company.
Did we really?
Yeah, a tire company. We had some university people say some stuff.
I saw some stuff. I didn't see a tire company.
And then we had lovely pictures of someone's dogs. Again.
Yes.
So that's the second time they sent
it. Oh, the postcards.
Yeah, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes, I saw those. Postcards. I thought you meant on Twitter. I was like, what did I miss? I swear I watched Twitter.
Yeah, so it's lots of fun. We love them, and we have a wall that's growing and growing with more and more.
Excellent, excellent. Let's get to the show.
I know what I'm downloading tomorrow, and it's going to be a goat simulator for my
Not just a goat simulator.
No, the goat simulator for Xbox One. And Xbox 360 is now going to be available. Now, you're saying, see, this is new to me. Maybe it's not hip and trendy and all the different types of games that are out there, but apparently it's been around for, it started as a farce almost, as like an instructional, here's what you kind of do.
It started as a, like, lol, goats, yeah. Like, why would this be a real game? And people wanted it.
They were making fun of all the different types of simulator type things that are out there, I think. And then they came up with this one here, and you can literally go and be a goat. You get points for destroying things. You can get jetpacks. You can interact with different types of objects and really strange physics and that sort of stuff.
So, I mean, like, goats and will eat anything,
it's
right?
Perfect for, like, I'm just sitting around drinking a beer and deciding to go off and wreak some havoc.
It's funny because there are a lot of just simulators out there. And the one I have played a little bit of as the demo is Euro Truck Simulator.
Oh, yeah.
You just drive truck routes. But I hooked up to my big TV and with my Xbox controller, takes my PC, and just driving a big rig around. And like, you get minus points for like breaking the speed limit or like going through red lights. You literally have to drive right. And it's a very different experience.
So this one here is a
goats, no rules.
Yeah, this one here is a combination development with Coffee Stain and Double 11. Go off and try it out. So Goat Simulator is a parody of the inexplicably popular simulator games such as Train Sim, Farm Sim, and others. Dang. It's definitely good. Go ahead and get Goat Sim.
So it's out already if you're watching this.
Yeah.
So Rick, did you ever plug in one of those cassette adapters in the in your car?
Yeah, man.
So the idea was if you had a cassette player in your car and you wanted some different audio source, you plug in like the fake cassette and plug it into like a...
I had a cassette adapter for my 8-track in my 78 Oldsmobile.
So cassette to 8-track adapter.
Let's just say the 8-track adapter.
Yeah.
And you had to put an adapter into that guy there to be able to... It was, anyway, old car. I had a very old car. It was my first car.
That was before my time.
It was my high school car.
I had a Pontiac Grand Am.
Nice, man.
Yeah, it had a cassette, which I had the cassette adapter. Anyway, so inventor Jesse England has created something similar, but Bluetooth and a record.
I don't get it.
So it's a physical record that you put on a turntable.
Yeah.
And then you can hook that up to any Bluetooth audio source, so MP3s on your phone, and then play the music on your turntable.
How does the turntable, because it, you know, it feels the bumps that are in the vinyl to be able to tell you what kind of frequency, how does it do that?
So, he explains it somewhere in here, and I am not an inventor. The turntable needles rest upon this ring,
yeah,
and the ring vibrates based on the music. So it's emulating grooves via vibrations, because like there's a certain response time in the needle, dropping.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's how it does that.
I got it.
And apparently,
because we all have these high-end turntables just laying around the house, right? I can actually resurrect my dad's old hi-fi that actually has not just 33 and 45, but also has 16 and 78.
Can you play stuff backwards too, so you can hear the hidden messages and things?
The turntable's so heavy that you can feel the whole mechanism torque when it starts.
The gerbil in the bottom still is cranking away at that. So it's interesting. We've come full circle from
from old to new and modern and back again. And I feel like there's always going to be those people who like want to go back to the old style. And vinyl still, I want to say, has had
a resurgence for sure, man. For vinyl.
It's interesting. I think it's pretty cool. I don't have space for turntables, although I do have like DJ turntables. Yeah. But different story altogether. Yeah. So check it out. There is no news whether this will be a commercial product or not.
It's
but he shows the insides. There's a video. It's a pretty cool little project. Cable cutters, we've got some new options for you for watching TV on your Xbox One. A couple different options, actually.
Yeah.
First off is the announcement of the over-the-air tuner for the U.S. and Canada. Mm-hmm. So something that's already available in several European countries.
Yep.
Is now you can buy a, for example, a hopage?
Hopage.
A TV tuner, which is an external hardware card. That you can plug into the Xbox and use that as your TV receiver.
Right.
We are actually also working with them to create one specifically for Xbox that will be a little cheaper than the ones that are available now.
You still are going to require a HD antenna to be able to plug into either one of those.
Correct.
Two.
Yes, the antenna to actually receive,
right.
And then the card does the encoding, decoding, whatever.
The magical smoke.
And then sends the signal up to your device. Mm-hmm. Now, that'll allow you to watch things like what? Like... your PBS, your over-the-air, CBS, Fox, NBC,
yeah.
ABC, those general, your local stations, if you get your local news and lots of network sports and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We are also expanding support for the Xbox One digital TV tuner to, this is on the preview, let me be fair, on the Xbox preview, to 11 more European countries, Austria, Belgium, Denmark, Finland, Ireland, Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Sweden, and Switzerland.
Switzerland,
which is awesome. So there's a bunch of ways for you. That's a total of 19 markets that are going to be able to watch TV in one way or another via Xbox.
And then this one, cool update. This one ties in as well to the fact that they've had some new releases with something we talked about earlier, which is the Sling TV stuff.
Yes. So Sling now also has HBO as a channel, which is an add-on.
Right.
So if I want to get this correct, $15
on
per
top
month.
Of the $20 per month bottle.
Yes,
basic.
So I actually tried out Sling. For context, my RIT Tigers, the college I went to,
yep.
Their hockey team made it into the top eight of national hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed those games on ESPNU, which I do not have. So I immediately got my preview of Sling TV, added on the sports package, and I had ESPNU on my Xbox.
The quality was good, everything was happy.
It was fantastic.
Nice.
In fact, I think... if you ever streamed ESPN or other channels online through like the website,
yep.
You know sometimes during commercials, instead of the commercial, you just get a "please wait, we'll be back." It's kind of nice. So I get you get all of the "this is SportsCenter" commercials, but
yeah.
The other ones just go away. So
nice.
Got to watch all of that. I'm still, I think, on my preview month. I'm still deciding whether it's enough for me. Combining this with my local network shows is fantastic, though. Channels. HBO started on April 11th, which happened to be a day before Game of Thrones Season 5
right.
started. I am not a Game of Thrones person. I don't know if you are.
I am not.
I'll probably end up watching it all.
Just do a binge watch.
Yeah.
That's what I plan on doing.
Spoiler, the story was leaked a couple years ago when all the books were released.
You got it.
So those collectively give you a whole bunch of new experiences for cable cutters.
In theory... over-the-air HD for local channel access.
Yes.
And then specialty channels through something like Sling.
Yep.
You only have to pay for the hardware and HD TV antenna for the local stuff.
Correct.
And then about $35 a month.
$20 for the base, and
then you'll still have
packages.
You'll still have to go and pay for some kind of internet access. I can't live without internet.
Right, yeah, I mean.
So that's, yeah, quite cutting out
the internet is kind of, I read this online, I'm totally stealing someone else's quote, but the internet is like electricity of the previous century.
Yep.
You don't need it to survive, but you're not going to thrive in society without it, really. Nowadays,
you got it.
It's pretty important, so.
Well, it's getting closer and closer. I don't know if I can convince my entire family to go cable cut, because we're really dependent upon it with our kids.
So what I'd recommend is what I'm trying is get the Sling preview for a month. And then try to not use television. I'm finding that there are things that aren't on there that I'm reassessing whether I need to see it or not.
True.
They have TNT, so I can watch all the Law and Order I want. And that consumes most of my time. So it's that and SportsCenter, I'm pretty much set. Comedy Central's not on there, but Comedy Central has its own app on Xbox.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's that, but some of the, yeah. So I would say go dive in. Dive in, try it out. There's lots of trials and stuff you can see if it fits you.
Exciting times.
Probably a niche audience, but for those of you who compose your own music, there is an app available that is exclusive to the Windows platform and for some very specific reasons. Mm-hmm. It's called StaffPad, which, like a musical staff pad to write notes, it uses pen input. And the native pen input on the Surface Pro is turns out to be fantastic for actually drawing in your notes and editing music. Mm-hmm. They'd actually looked previously for digital inputs before, and there are several ones out there, but they really didn't hold up to kind of what the fidelity they could get on here. It's been getting fantastic reviews, even though it's priced at $70.
I was about to say, this is probably one of the most expensive apps that I've seen in the
right.
store.
And it definitely is when you look at it compared to the normal apps you see in the store.
Right.
But for those of you familiar with something like Finale, mm-hmm. which is they've been writing this software for decades or so, that used to cost thousands of dollars and is now still in the hundreds of dollars mm-hmm. to the point where you could buy a like Surface 3 or Surface Pro 3 and the software and still come out ahead of where you were beforehand. And everything mobile and with the pen gesture. So they actually go into a lot of good detail in this article here.
They talk a bit about the historical apps for what was able to be done and how right. that was not very intuitive because you had to write in a certain area
right.
and
well,
translate
well,
it
previously
over
previously, you'd
side.
Write it in like MIDI and then transfer it over, and it became a lot more of having to sit within your technical confines.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are creative or artistic types, it takes you out of that creative process. Like, you just want to focus on the creation part and not have to worry about all these other constraints you have. This is one of those ways to take you out of that, get you back to just the hand to paper, hand to tablet way of actually just getting your creativeness mm-hmm. out of you. So, very cool. It's interesting to see these kinds of premium, like actually full robust apps appearing on the store in this way. I'm excited to see more like this.
Did we cover this one before a little bit?
No,
never. Like, I thought we did a little bit.
We did pants.
Well, we did the pants. We're talking about charging. I say key, you say chi. I say tomato, you say...
Tomato?
Okay, we're both the same that way. But I carry and I sport a Lumia 1020. Does not have built-in wireless charging, but you can get a little sleeve that snaps onto it and it works.
My Lumia Icon does have built-in charging.
Yes, very, very handy. And I know that running different builds of phone software that's now available for people to go off and try, different battery life, and so having to try to find the charger is always very convenient.
Yes.
For that. But IKEA has actually gone ahead and made it crazy easy, to quote unquote the title, so I like that one, to add wireless charging to furniture.
Yes.
The idea is that they are actually marketing and selling some of their furniture designs with the charging built in.
Yes.
But then they also have the ability to have these very, very simple circular pads that you can add in to existing furniture and make it so that they will also have a nice resting place to charge your phone.
Yeah, so there are some desks that, if you're familiar, will have a hole in them for cable management.
Yeah.
Well, this charger fits directly in that hole. So that's
right.
one way of doing it.
Yeah.
Like you said, they have the ones that are pre-built in. Then a third option is they're actually selling a very specific drill bit. So you can cut this into, well, anything, really.
Right.
And then just buy the charger and plug it in. They're also selling those sleeves, by the way, for all sorts of phones.
Yeah. So as you can picture an example here, they have some existing furniture that works, and they have like lights with little tables on them. They have side tables. They have end tables. Even like what I call bedroom end lamps or side mm-hmm. lamps for your tables. All to be able just to place that.
In my living room, I have an end table that has a laptop stand, and I have my wireless charger right next to that, and
like
cable managed out of the way. So if I'm sitting on the couch, my phone can just go right next to me and be charging, and can grab it whenever. Don't have to worry about plugging it in.
My nightstand table has one of those little charger pads on it that I got on sale, and just flop the phone down on top of that, and I know it's going to be ready in the morning.
I plug in my phone across the room, so when the alarm gets off, I have to get out of bed to turn it off.
There's a life hack for
you. Unfortunately, I need that. Otherwise, I would not be at work in the morning.
So from what I understand, it's not available as of yet. It's going to be available sometime later on in the spring / summertime from IKEA here in the U.S. I believe it's debuting over in Europe right now. Go ahead and check that out. And like you said, they have adapters for those phones that don't have them.
Thanks for watching, Ping. This has been episode 242. That is 242 episodes in the can. Are we going to do anything for 250? Yeah, we're gonna do some for 250.
Yeah, we need to do something different.
That's like 2 months away. We got time. Not like there's anything going on in between then. Reminder, yes. We've got conference season coming up. So Build is already sold out.
Right. We have Ignite, which is already sold out.
Is sold out as well, really. So we got those back to back in San Francisco and Chicago.
Right. And we should probably publicize something that I forgot to mention during the show.
Yep.
Which is Mary Jo Foley is currently looking to give away passes to a special Sunday event of craft beer and IT. If you go ahead and tweet with hashtag, look, it's fixed, hashtag beer IT. Why craft beer and IT people just seem to go together. Limited engagement, MJ is going to be crashing the Patch and Switch show.
Patch and Switch are going to be there?
Patch and Switch are going to be there as well. So that's cool. We'll have notes in the
field. So if you happen to be in Chicago that weekend, feel free. That's, you don't have to have a pass or anything. It's not even related to Ignite. It's just, so if you're in the area, want to hang out with some cool celebrities,
yeah.
Please then beer IT.
Beer IT is the hashtag for that one there.
As always, we will be streaming and hosting all the video content here on Channel 9. Yeah. So if you can't be there in person, feel free to watch live online and then afterward watch all of the content flow through on demand. Mm-hmm.
Normally we ask a question at this point, but we're going to try some new technologies and actually go with a poll, a live poll that we'll keep open until the next show. We talked about Goat Simulator.
Yes.
And apparently after watching the trailer, I found out that you can actually be a goat or a long-necked goat, which is known as a giraffe. So using this URL right here and your device of choice or even the web interface, go ahead and vote today which you would you rather be, a goat or a long-necked goat.
I'm a classic kind of guy. I'd go with the goat.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna stand up from the crowd because I'm always have this complex about being shorter than Joey Snow, and so I'm gonna go with a giraffe.
All right, we've picked our sides. Yeah. You gotta pick yours. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at. Hashtag.
You want me to go first? Oh, sorry.
Hashtag.
Bing
Show.
Bing Show. You can find me ever so smooth with the transitions at @RicksterCDN.
@MarkDeFalco.
And don't forget, you want one of these little Channel 9 guys? You can also reach us using good old fashioned snail mail at The Bing Show, care of Channel 9. What is it?
Building 20.
Building 20, 1 Microsoft Way,
Redmond,
Washington, 98052. I was going to say 902.
See how hard physical addresses are? We made them so much easier. Just hashtag.
You got it. Hashtag is far easier. So, I don't know, man. I think that's it.
That's good.
We're good.
We'll see you next time.